Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Live from Estopinal End. It's the Vamos Morados podcast,
powered by the state of Louisville.
Welcome to the Vamos Morados podcast on the State of Louisville Podcast Network. I am your host, Zach. As usual, I'm here with Benton. Benton, how are you doing today?
I'm doing fantastic. I'm really excited to be recording again so soon because it's a special occasion.
We have a pretty nice guest tonight. We are joined by Louisville City head coach Danny Cruz. Danny, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you guys for having me. It's good to see you.
Absolutely.
You're enjoying the offseason? I would ask if you're getting any rest in, but you've had a pretty busy offseason so far.
Oh, yeah. I spent a little bit of time with family over Christmas. We didn't travel really at all other than, recruitment, player recruitment and scouting. But it's been as best as it can be. Let's put it that way.
I feel like it's a different kind of busy for you. You never really get too much of a dead period. It just kind of shifts.
I couldn't have said it any better myself. But honestly, anytime you're able to do what we get to do, man, I'm lucky to be able to do it. So it has been a busy off season for sure, as I'm sure you all have seen. But we're certainly heading in the direction that we want to be.
Yeah, we're really excited to talk about everything with you. I mean, there's just so much going on, and it's really feeling like the season's like almost here. Because the roster seemingly kind of getting complete and whatnot. But before we kind of dive into some of these future looks, I did want to take a little look back in the rearview mirror on the 2023 season. So after having some time to digest the previous season, kind of what are some of your just overarching thoughts on it?
Yeah, I said this, to my staff after, it's something for other people to be proud of as far as, us getting to a conference final again. But that's not my goal, when the season starts, right? So, we certainly weren't happy with how the season ended in no way, shape, or form, to be honest. I thought we were extremely inconsistent. I don't ever make excuses. I felt that someone would get on a good run, an injury would hit us, and that would make things a little bit difficult. But that's my job, and I can't sit there and preach to everybody what I honestly feel, which is that, every player in that locker room can start games if it's not how I actually feel. And the reality is that, I felt really, really good about the roster. I felt really good about the depth, and so there's no excuse for me that we had a good enough team to have a better season than we did. But you take the lessons that came from it, the ups and the downs, you learn from it. You try to bring in pieces that you feel are going to give you a better chance to obviously lift the trophy at the end of the year. To get specific, I thought that And I know you guys heard it over and over again in some of the weekly press conferences, but I thought that our mentality at times during the season was nowhere near of the expectation that we want. I felt there was certainly from an attacking set piece standpoint, I thought we were on it again from a defensive set piece standpoint. I didn't feel we were anywhere near the level that we needed to be. We progressed. We got a little bit better after the middle of this. I think it was the middle of the season when you think about Birmingham, RGV. Those stand out to me. After that, we started to kind of change a little bit of what we were doing in training, and I thought that had a positive impact on the group. But I guess all in all, I would say it was a year that we underachieved where we wanted to be from a regular season standpoint. I thought we grinded it out and did a really good job in the first two games of the playoffs. And then obviously in Charleston, felt we when we concede as early as we do, that changes the game plan for sure. And then on top of that, I felt we certainly didn't create enough in that game. So, that's kind of a lot of pieces that I've just given you there, but I would say certainly not where we wanted to be.
We asked people on Twitter for some questions before the we recorded, and we had a listener question that I think kind of relates to what you were just talking about. Can you mention what is something you learned about yourself as a coach last season? I mean, you mentioned it was an up and down season, and it was a bit of a struggle. Is there anything you felt you learned personally as a coach going through that season last year?
Oh man, that's a great question. I think for your own internal, when you're reflecting on yourself and I think the biggest thing is probably
Came out the gates hot at you, didn't we?
it's a good question. It's If you said the biggest thing, right? You said what is, or what was one thing that I
What's
learned
yeah,
about
it doesn't
myself?
have to be the biggest thing, just
Okay.
something you learned about yourself as a coach.
Yeah, I think in reflection, making sure that I'm going with my gut. What I believe to be right in that moment and not second guessing myself, whether it be in the lead up to the game or whether it be in the game, to go with my gut. Because I'm thinking it for a reason with my experience and the different things that we've been through, I would say going with my gut.
Do you like to continually like kind of tinker with the game plan even as time gets close to the match?
No, I would say lineup decisions at times, right? So, I have this conversation a lot with my staff. Not a lot, but at times you go to bed thinking about it. Right, you don't sleep thinking about it, and then when you finally do, you wake up hoping that there's a little bit of clarity, and I think when I say going with my gut, I'm obviously having a feeling at a certain time, and sticking with it.
Now, kind of on the squad dynamic sort of thing, I'll just kind of I think I kind of wrote it near here. Another fan question from Anthony Leanhart. He was asking about, I mean, you're not that far removed from playing days yourself, and we have some older guys on the roster. So age-wise, I mean, you're kind of close to some of these guys. So what's the dynamic with these squad members in which you're pretty close age-wise too? And then also, I guess on the flip side, I mean, what's it like working with the younger ones? Is there kind of like a big difference there? Kind of, I guess, just beyond your stereotypical generational stuff?
No, I think especially when so if you put that in two different buckets, in the first bucket where you're talking about players that are similar in age, it ultimately comes down to respect, right, at the end of the day. And I think a big thing, especially with players in that age group, or say in my age group or a little bit older, is relatability, right? Like I've been through what they're going through. I understand the different feelings that they have in every moment, not being in the 18, not starting when you think you should start, you know, all those different things. Not getting on when you think you should get on, or you could impact the game. And you can relate to that, especially when you're not far removed from having been in it, you know, as a player. So that's the first piece with the older guys. And then with the younger guys, it's again, trying to get them to understand that where are your goals? Where do you want to go? And this is the path that I believe will get you there. And if you follow that path, we've shown you that you can get there. And again, it goes back to respect though, right? Ultimately, it's about helping the player grow as a person, and a player. And with younger players, obviously, you're able to mold a little bit more, and you're able to, obviously understand what they need in those moments. Again, having been through it. But every player is different, right? They're all people. And yeah. So there are some players that they need an arm around the shoulder, and there are some players that can handle, when you get into them a little bit, because they're not meeting expectation, for example. You know, and so, I have yet to feel once, even when I was, when I took over, and I think I was 31 then at the time, age being any factor at all, because ultimately it comes down to respect. And respect, as you hear from everybody, is a two-way street. It's not just given because I'm the manager, you know. You have to earn that, and it's, again, it goes both ways.
Now, in terms of some of these players kind of like looking to continue to develop their career, do you feel like it's been a much easier conversation, or help by simply by the fact that you yourself was a former player, and it kind of, I guess, gives you some, at least, you know, instant credibility on that front?
I would say, I think that's helpful for sure. You know, young players that come in and tell me they want to go to Europe. Okay. I've done that. I know those feelings there. I know what it's like to be away from family. I know what it's like to live in a country, that they speak English, obviously, in Norway, but it's not their first language, right? Mm-hmm. You know, a beautiful country, but there's a lot of things that go into that, you know. On the field is not English, right? It's a different language. And, you know, and when I've been through it, again, going back to relating to one another, it's a lot easier to be able to explain to them, listen, I'm telling you, I've gone there and I've done that. And this is what's going to get you there, you know? And from the MLS standpoint, it's a lot easier because of how long I spent, you know, in MLS. And, you know, and again, it's about helping them understand what it takes to get there. And then the expectation of, okay, we're aligned. This is what you want for your future. And these are the things that we need to make sure that we're doing to help you get there.
You mentioned something really interesting there that I think a lot of people maybe don't think a lot about. I know it's not something I had ever really thought about before. How hard is it as a player when you move to another country, English is not the first language on the field? I mean, soccer is a sport that requires a lot of communication on the field. And I think we see a lot of international transfers and expect players to just come in and play. How big of an adjustment is that to learn basically a whole new language on the field?
Yeah. Norway was a little bit different than, say, Portugal, you know, or Italy, or right. If you look at Josh in Portugal, right. That's a big difference. Cause in Norway, everybody does speak, they're taught English from such a young age. But for example, the manager at the time, who spoke English, but he's Norwegian, and he had been in Norway for a long time, obviously, and that was his first language, and that's what he was most comfortable speaking, right, to the team. And so you learn different things. So for example, a passing pattern comes, and you're the fourth guy in line instead of the first guy in line, because you want to make sure you're able to analyze and see, okay, this is where they need us to be. But it's also, it puts you outside the box, or you're working outside the box, and you're having to adapt, and you're out of your comfort zone. And that ultimately, it can make you better if you embrace it, you know. And I had a lot of ups and a lot of downs when I was there. It can be lonely at times, for sure. But you know, I wouldn't have changed that at all. Like, if when I reflected back after, I'm like, I'm so happy, you know, that I went through this.
I feel like I could ask a lot of questions on this front, but I would be respectful of your time and kind of keep it focused. I do have kind of one more question, I guess, kind of rear view mirror-ish. So kind of, I guess, heading into this off season, what were some of your, I guess, your top priorities to help make this next campaign a successful one? And I'm thinking even kind of beyond, like, I guess, like positional signings, maybe, I guess, preparation, game planning, et cetera.
Yeah. So a couple of things. One of the big things that I've talked about in all the press releases for the most part is hunger. You know, before we sign a player, obviously you go through such a thorough vetting process. You know, and when I met with all of them this off season, you know, my interviews went actually a lot different than they did in the last off season. Because you talked about, you know, going back a little bit to one of your questions on something that I learned, you know, how do I put it? I could have done a better job in some of the interviews going into 2023 to sniff out a few things. And I learned from that for sure. And so this offseason going into 2024, we changed the questions that we were asking of the players that we were interviewing, and we interviewed a ton, obviously. And, you know, when we go back and look at what did we want for 2024, I started there. I want a group of men that are going to walk off that field every single time, and I know they have left everything on the field. And if we get that and we get the right pieces, we're going to put ourselves in a really, really good spot. And there were too many games last year, you know, when you think about the hot game on turf in Birmingham, right? Like, that's an excuse. Both teams have to do it, right? And for me, I think that became the priority in this offseason. And we feel – and so we start there. Obviously, then you have to have quality. You have to have players that are able to fit the positional profile that we want in each spot. And we feel we've gone out and done that for the most part in every spot that we went out to look for.
So kind of follow-up question on this is something kind of was wondering. I mean, it wasn't till you talk about like the excuses and whatnot. It wasn't something that you really were directly bringing up in your press conferences until late in the season. Now, is this something that, I mean, was there kind of a level of protection of the players as far as like this, you know, this public accountability, or is this something that wasn't really, I guess, clicking with you and the staff until later in the campaign, like, oh, this is an issue.
I very rarely, and you've been around me now for 3 years, 4 years, well, longer than that, actually. I very rarely am going to come out in the public and blame anybody but myself. It's a choice, you know. I know the guys see most of the things that I say in the public. Like, they hear it. They hear it on Monday, you know. But I am being honest with you guys every time that I come out, and I just say, listen, we got this wrong, or our set pieces weren't good enough. But I didn't say, you know, player X, you know, lost his man, right? I choose not to do that. Yeah. But they're held accountable on the Monday. There's no question about that. So, you know, you ask, you know, towards the end of the season, it was clear for everybody to see, right, in certain moments. And so, you know, when you heard me saying that the effort wasn't there, the mentality wasn't right, it's because for me, it wasn't. And when we were starting games, you know, you think about Tampa at home, right? The goals that they score, we showed 5 to 6 of them, the games leading up to it, almost identical. So we talked ball into Williams, Cal Jennings in behind. We showed it over and over and over again, right? That goal happens. It's very easy to come out after the game and say, listen, I don't know what they're doing. We worked on it all week. But that's not really who I am, to be honest with you. You know, I'd be surprised if you went back and you were able to find me doing that over the last 3 years. So my point is, No, I didn't really pivot as the season was going on, or I didn't try to, but when you guys hear from me, it's the same thing that I tell the players. You're going to know what I'm feeling. You're going to know what I'm thinking for the most part. And I'm not trying to hide anything.
Yeah. I don't want to linger too long, I guess, on the past season of the transition or the not as kind of like fun stuff, but I do feel, I guess, obligated to ask. I mean, number of departures in the season, that stuff normally happens, a few fan favorites, a few kind of like regular starters. I'm not going to ask you to kind of go through each and every one of them. I just didn't know if you have any kind of high level thoughts on the departures, reason behind them, and anything that you just kind of want to share in that spectrum.
I would say that all of them were for different reasons. Each one was taken, I don't take those lightly ever. That's not something that I enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, it's about making sure that we're bringing in pieces that we feel give us the best chance to win a championship.
I want to transition on to the fun looking forward news. So we've had so far, in my opinion, a really good off season as far as player signings go. I wanted to maybe get into talk about a few of the new players we have coming in, especially since people listening might not be familiar with everyone. I want to start out with, I think, probably the biggest news signing of the offseason.
The marquee signing.
Odunez, he's coming in as the reigning defensive player of the year. It's a big signing for the club. Can you talk a little bit about, what goes into bringing in a player like that? I mean, coming off the type of season he had last season, what is that signing process like, and a little bit of why you targeted him and were able to bring him in?
Yeah. So, Arturo, you talk about hunger and mentality, right? Not only can you watch him on video and see it, gets into a tackle, he gets up to celebrate, right? That's somebody that loves to defend, and it's ingrained in him, right? We then interviewed him, and for me, it was a no-brainer after that, and because for me, the interview is the most important piece, right? Not just for me to get to know the player, but for the player to get to know me. Because, we talk about this a lot internally. Ultimately, if I'm trying to convince a player to come here, right, without the player understanding expectation or how I choose to manage, then inevitably there could be a problem that becomes really difficult to manage in the middle of the season. But if you set expectation, they understand the type of manager that you are, and you understand the type of person that you're going to be working with on a daily basis for 11 months straight, it puts you in the best position to have success. With Arturo, we interviewed him. The qualities that he brings as a player, he's incredible in the air. His ability to step forward defensively and do it very methodically, where he's reading the game, but also dropping when he needs to drop, was one of the best I saw this year in the league. And obviously we saw everybody, his ability on the ball, which didn't get shown a ton, and that's, again, not a shot at all at Pittsburgh or the way they want to play, but that field is more difficult to play on, right? That's just the reality. But if you go back and you look at his time in college, and then you also look at, when he's on the road, this season in the USL, his ability on the ball is very, very good. And so the biggest thing that I think he's going to bring the back line is A, his mentality, and B, his demeanor and his competitiveness on a daily basis. We talked to people that played with him there in Pitt, nothing but rave reviews from him as a person as well.
Now, one thing that was kind of, I guess, shared with me on this signing is one key factor that I guess isn't readily apparent was, leadership was a trait that he possesses and really stood out to you. Can you talk to me about, what you were seeing from him kind of within that realm?
Yeah, again, it goes back to, and you see it more obviously when you're playing against them, the leadership piece with regard to on the field, because you can hear everything, you know, that's going on. You can hear how he's holding guys accountable, you know, and then again, a lot of, you make a lot of different calls before, it's not just to the player, right? You talk to a lot of people before you sign the player. And then when I interviewed with him, you know, we talked about leadership and I wanted him to describe to me, you know, his definition of it. And when you look at, when you put all of those pieces together, and then on top of that, you look at the competitor that he is, I think he's going to come in and be a big piece of that, especially from a leadership standpoint. He's a player I'm very excited to work with because of his demeanor.
So the I guess the next sign that happened was another Pittsburgh guy. For a minute there, it looked like you were kind of raiding their roster, Tola Shawami. He's one of the guys that I don't think he has as much experience as some of the other signings that you've made. So can you kind of talk through what you were seeing in him?
Yeah. So obviously he was playing behind Dequa for the most part this year, right? So we looked at a lot of different things. You know, I think I've talked to you guys about this in the past, but from a data profile standpoint, he was off the charts on a per 90 minute basis on pretty much every metric that we look at on the attacking side and the defensive side of the ball. You then go look at the video. You know, there are certainly areas that he's going to continue to work on when he gets here. And we spoke about those when we interviewed him. But he's a kid that is going to work hard up front from a defensive standpoint. He's going to give us, again, another physical profile that's a little bit different than Wilson higher up the field. His ability to hold up the ball with his size and his strength, very good. And then if you look at some of the goals that he scored this year, I think for a player that prides himself on his work rate, his feet, he has good feet as well. So I think it's going to, you know, there, as I've said, there are areas we know we need to work on with him in the final third specifically. But, you know, you guys know me well enough to know now that for me, you have to be able to work on both sides of the ball. Every single player on the roster starts up top with the way that we want to press. And then obviously we need him to score goals as well, but we feel he has the quality to do that in the limited minutes that he got this year. He did it. And again, we were really happy with the interview that we did.
Yeah. You touched on some of the statistics you guys are looking at. Another player we signed this offseason that I thought statistically had a very good season last year, and I was very excited to see sign Adrian Perez out of San Diego. Do you want to speak a little bit? I mean, he's had a good variety of experience. He's played, you know, and has experience in some different systems and shapes on the field. Talk a little bit about the Perez signing.
Yeah, so special player 1v1, ability to go inside on his left, the ability to go down the line, serve the ball with his right foot. He has so much quality in the final third. His ability to get up and down and his work rate, his work ethic, I should say, as well. You know, and everything that we watched was fantastic. If you were to go back and look at, I was watching it live, I remember, I think it was the Phoenix game, in the playoffs. I think it was, they went 120. Is that right? Do you know?
I'm pretty sure that went over. Yeah.
Like the 115th minute and the guy is running, he's going as hard as he could, similar to the fifth minute, you know? And, so from a stamina standpoint, we were really happy with that. But the quality that he brings us with the ball, and in the final third, is something that we're really, really excited about.
He's one I'm particularly excited about, and I think we could look back and see that being a good bit of business. One guest follow up on him. I know he spent some time in the MLS, but it's kind of derailed by injury or whatnot. I think he's had kind of, I guess, one or two stints on the sideline. Is there any sort of injury concerns there?
No, he put together a full season for the most part last year. And we went through all that with him. Then again, you know, like all these guys, they'll have to come in and make sure that they'll go through a medical and all those things. But we feel really good about where he's at, physically. And again, I mean, for us, a player that we're really happy chose to come here.
Now, one of the more recent signings was Jake Morris. He's not been, I guess, is visible, you know, if somebody's trying to look around online, statistically with his time with the MLS Next. But he did have some time with Loudoun itself, and it looked like he appeared to be more kind of midfield oriented, but I believe he's listed as a defender. So can you kind of talk to me about what you liked in him and kind of what your, maybe some of your plans are in terms of his role?
Yep. He's going to be a left back and a left wing back. His quality of service is excellent, on his left foot. He's going to bring size and strength, and pace to the wide areas. You know, he's been a winner for the most part. When you look at the MLS Next Pro, when they won the championship, when you look at the environment he was in this year, I know he went and played games in Loudoun, but you know, when I interviewed him, he was on his way to training, with Columbus, the first team, you know? So, this is a player that's been in a championship environment, and culture, for a while now, which is important, right? He understands what it takes. He sees what goes into, winning a championship on a daily basis. He sees that, right? And that, that's key for us. So then when you look at, again, you can add size in there for him from a set piece standpoint. I want to continue to finish at the top, with regard to, our ability to attack set pieces and obviously defend them as well. So again, he's a player that, we feel good about, that we think gives us a good option, in the wide area. But again, for me, you know, when he was in Loudoun, he played higher up in more of a 4-4-2. Well, they changed systems quite a bit, but he played more, you know, as a left winger, left midfielder. For us, he's a left back or left wing back. He won't be playing as a winger in a 4-3-3.
Some recent news we got, which I think the fan base and like me personally, am always very excited to see, Academy player recently sign his first pro contract with the team, Isaac Cano. Can you talk a little bit about, I mean, what's it like to get to tell someone they're getting their first pro contract? And then also, he's a player. I know he was practicing with the first team last season. As fans, we've not gotten to see a ton of him yet. So can you talk a little bit, you know, about him and what he brings, and, you know, why he's getting a pro contract?
Yeah. Fearless kid, has grown up a ton over the last 2 years. You know, every one of these academy kids has had a little bit of a different pathway, right? So, I'll give you an example. So Elijah goes out on loan at the beginning of the season with FC Tucson, but we choose to have Carlos stay. There's reasons for that, right? Depending on the player, the environment, what we feel they need. Maybe it's to get away, and to, you know, be put in a new environment and be challenged that way. Or maybe for a player like Carlos, we felt it was more beneficial for him to be, in with us every day, even though he wasn't playing games, because we felt being around the group was going to help him, understand how to be a pro more, right? So you go into small details like that. For Isaac, I'll tell you guys, you know, this is a player that was fearless. He's a player that, you know, as I said, has grown up, very good 1v1 player, still learning tactically, what's expected of him, still learning how to read the game, right? All these things that come with time and experience. You know, he's likely going to go out on loan this season, so that he can get those games, because he spent this last season training with us. And for us, the reason for doing that is, again, you're trying to develop the player. You're trying to now get, okay, you've trained with us 10 months. You've done a great job. You've earned yourself a contract. Now can we partner or not partner, but can we send you to a team that we feel is going to help provide you games, help you understand those pressure feelings, you know, the different feelings that you get in games that matter. And, you know, so we talked through all of that with him. I'm not announcing that to you without him knowing. None of that is finalized, but that's the goal. That's what we want to do with him this year, because he needs games. He doesn't need to do what he did all year last year. Again, now it's a next step in his development and his pathway. And it's to evaluate him in another environment where he's playing games and seeing how he does. And it's someone that I believe is going to have success, or we wouldn't have signed him.
Awesome. I look forward to watching his career develop. I'm a big fan of all the Academy kids and what we're doing on that front. But we did have one more signing that you've made, and this one was interesting in its own right. Sam Gliedel. We don't normally see paid transfers coming into the club. If I'm not mistaken, it might be one of the first ones. So obviously there's something you really liked about him to go out and do that. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, I spoke a little bit about it in the press release, but positional versatility. So this will probably help lead into the questions that you'll have on shape would be my guess. But Sam is a player that we feel can play right wing back for us in a back three, can play right back in a back four. And obviously he's shown this year in Monterrey the ability to play higher up the field. But for us, you know, we've had that discussion with Sam before we made obviously the decision. He's going to come in as a right wing back with the ability to play right back or higher up the field. We're still looking at a few things with regard to the roster build, but if you go back to Sam's time in Reno, he was an outside back for Ian, I think it was. And we went back and looked at those games. We had honest discussions with Sam about what he thought about it. But in a back three, I think he's going to be a perfect fit.
Excited to hear it. Yeah, we'll dive into the roster component shortly.
Yep.
Zach, did you have any other questions on the signings themselves?
Yeah, I'm kind of curious. Feels like the roster's in a good spot right now. I guess should we expect to be hearing any more news soon, or do you feel like we're sort of at the place we want to be heading into the season?
There'll be one next week for sure. After that one, likely one more, but let me rephrase that. Taking goalkeepers out of it, talking field players, there'll be a field player announced next week. And then after that, likely one, maybe two. But those are the things that we're still evaluating, because I am actually really happy with, after the announcement comes out next week, I'm really happy with where the roster's at the moment. But as always, we're always evaluating it. Players are coming through our emails every day and phones every day. And if we feel, you know, there's someone there that is the right fit, we'll do it. But we are happy with where we're at the moment for the shapes that we're looking at playing in.
Us fans love this time of season. Well, these signings are coming out and we never can get quite enough of them.
I think you'll really like the one on next week.
There we go. I'm looking forward to it. Now we've kind of talked about the players that you've kind of added into the mix. Obviously, you kind of alluded to this. We definitely want to talk about game plan, realizing you can't go into full nitty gritty detail. It's been my observation, kind of watching you over the years and kind of seeing this roster come together. It seems like we are leaning more and more into kind of a back three shape, kind of being more of our predominant go-to sort of formation. Is that a fair observation?
I would say to you this, I am not as concerned about the shape. I am more concerned about making sure that the principles and what we want to do and how we want to do it are understood. And that when you guys are watching, it's very clear to you what we're trying to do. The roster is being built to be able to play in a back three and a back four, with certainly tweaks to anything you've seen from me over the last what is it? 3 years, 4 years, 3 years now. And so, but I feel really comfortable about the players that we've brought in, the ability to play the positions that we need them to play. And I feel really comfortable saying to you that, you know, for the first few weeks of preseason, we will be in a back three. For the next few weeks of preseason, we will be in a back four. But we are going to hammer home the principal aspect of it and what we're looking for from our players. Front foot, pounding the ball, repressing constantly, and building with the ball. Verticality, rotation, movement off of one another. Those are all things that we're going to continue to hammer home in preseason. And again, when you look at last year, we struggled to score goals out of nowhere, right? The year before, we were it was nonstop. And so I think defensively, because we struggled to score goals, the defensive side of the ball didn't get the credit, you know, that it deserved, where we were losing games, right? Set pieces, whatever it might be. But the reality was we weren't creating enough. And so, again, 12 shutouts, I think it was, on the year, but we didn't create anywhere near enough. So we want to the focus this offseason. And if you look at some of the pieces that we've brought in, you know, in Perez, in Gleedle, in a player to not be named, in Shawumni, you know, there's a lot of players that we believe can put the ball in the back of the net.
You mentioned, you know, you're big on, you know, every player on the roster needs to feel like they can start any game. I guess coming in to this offseason, do you feel like you have a starting 11 in mind, or is that very fluid? And do you expect that to sort of be fluid as the season goes?
No, it's fluid. I mean, when these guys come in, right, it's going to be up to them from day one to prove that they're in a position, they are putting themselves in a position to start. What I can tell you is, well, not every player is going to agree with me or with my decisions. They know my why. I talk to them all the time about it. When they're not in the 18, they know why. You know, when they're not starting, they know why. Some players don't want to know, so they don't want to come talk to me about it, because there are plenty of players like that. You know, but ultimately, we feel really good about where we're at. We feel we have the pieces up to this point that we need, bar, as I said, one to two that we are still likely to add that have not been done, not including the one that'll be announced next week. But to answer that question again, there's not a, these are my 11. I feel really good. They're going to start the majority of the games. No.
Now, I had a fan question kind of related to this as well. And I had already written it down. I want to ask specifically about Paulo DiPiccolo. Saw limited minutes last season. He's coming back for another season. I know he's a valuable, I guess, kind of locker room asset. So can you maybe elaborate on what his role might be looking in this upcoming season?
Yeah. You know, first and foremost, the leadership aspect that he brings to the locker room, both on and off the field, is invaluable. You know, when he's a perfect example of a guy that certainly felt he should be in the 18 and be in the 11, you know, week in and week out. He's a competitor, but he's also the guy that shows what it means when you're not, and how to handle when you're not. And that is really valuable, especially for young guys, right? But for everybody, really, because ultimately nobody's above the group, not one player, not one staff member, nobody's above one another. It's about making sure that we're all set out for the common goal. And we all understand what it takes to get there, because we've been there, right? And when you look at him and how he handles his business on a daily basis, the definition of a pro, definition of a leader, and I felt it was really important with the other players that we were letting go of, that we maintained having that piece of it, you know. And he'll be the first to tell you he's going to start 34 games next year. And I'll be the first to tell you, okay, go prove it, you know.
I'm looking forward to seeing him on the team sheet week in and week out.
We got another kind of related fan question. Are there any players working on their coaching licenses?
Yeah. Paulo, Niall, I may be mixing this year and last year up, but I know Paulo and Niall this year for sure. Oscar was or is. Obviously, he's no longer here. And I think Sharpie, but it might have been he was doing it last year and he's not doing it this year. I can't remember.
I love seeing guys stay and get the opportunity to stay in the game or work towards that end at least.
Oh, it's fantastic for them. It's fantastic.
Now, last kind of topic that we wanted to get into was the schedule itself. I guess kind of first being, it looks like we'll be having another preseason match open to the public. I believe I heard that correctly.
Definitely. Yeah. I can't remember how many of them. I think there'll be more than one that'll be open to the public.
Oh, hey, there we go.
Nice.
Excited about that one. As far as the preseason goes, what does the schedule like look like for that? Like, when do the players actually kind of like report in and you start like really just directly working with them all the time, going to these other preseason matches? I'm sure you guys will go on a bit of a road trip. I think a few of them had leaked by via other announcements.
Yeah. So the players, some of them are trickling in already. Our medicals are going to start on the 22nd. We'll begin training on the 24th. We will be in market from the I don't know what's been announced and what hasn't. I'm drawing a blank now. I get so many emails. I know there's a we'll be in market for the majority of preseason, except for the one trip that we're taking, and then the few games that you've already heard have been that I think already got announced by the other clubs. But other than that, unlike previous preseasons that I've done, we won't be leaving after that. So we'll get back from our trip on the 12th of February, and then we're in market the rest of the time.
Real quick follow-up on that one. So I guess you kind of feel more comfortable with the team's away performances, because if I'm not mistaken, a lot of last preseason was on the road because of what you had saw the season prior to that, correct?
Yeah, but I learned from that. I didn't want to do that again. You know, it was for a couple of reasons from a transparency standpoint. Number one, when you're traveling, that's less time on the field, right? Because it's not only the travel, but then their bodies have to recover from the travel. And we played so many games that the amount of training that we wanted, that we needed, I wasn't happy with. And so we made adjustments this preseason, and I'm really happy with how the schedule played out, for sure. And I'm really happy with the overall plan for the 6.5 weeks.
Looking forward to the regular season schedule that's been announced. Are there any matches or stretches of matches that jump out to you looking at the schedule that you've circled, either, you know, a tough stretch or that, you know, is a focus?
I think what I've tried to do going into this year, okay, that has maybe been different in the previous couple of years, is really coming to the realization that, like, I can't control it anymore. Like, there's no, it's now set. We are where we are. And now it's about trying to hit it head on. I'm relatively happy with the start of the season. There is certainly a chunk in the middle of the season. Don't quote me on this because I haven't looked at the schedule in a little bit, but I think there's a stretch where we're 6 out of 9 or 7 out of 9 on the road. But again, ultimately I can't control it, you know, and we started the year last year really, really well and we were on the road. And so I was thinking at that point, you know, what we've done in preseason, as you alluded to, Benton, you know, it's put us in a good spot to prepare for those type of trips. but you start to feel it, right? The players start to feel it, and making sure that we're doing a good job of managing bodies this year. That was the other big emphasis, you know, when building the roster. Is last year when you look at losing Scarlett when we did, and then you lose Winder, which obviously we knew, you know, that was going to happen. You know, those are big misses, you know, trying to make sure that we're doing a good job of putting the players physically in a position to be prepared for the grind that comes, which is a lot of travel, obviously going back to the West as well. But I feel we, as again, through evaluation, through reflection, through going through the numbers, the physical load for the players, we feel really good about where we're at the moment.
Now, I guess comparing this to last season, you find it more favorable setup, less favorable, about the same?
What is that? The setup of the league?
Of the schedule, yeah. In terms of how the matches fell.
Yeah, I don't see it as any different than what we had already. Obviously some teams are now out, but the shifting of the conferences, and I think it's pretty similar, you know.
Excellent. Coach, you've been very generous with your time, so we'll wrap things up. I have one more question for you, but Zach, is there anything else that you wanted to hit on?
No, I wanted to give Coach Cruz a chance to, if there's anything else you want to mention going out.
That's exactly what I was going to do for
coming on.
No, of course. I would just say, listen, you know, the support as always has been incredible. You know, and we feel really, really good about where we're at. We feel really good about the pieces that we've brought in. And now now's the most fun time, where you start to see the team when they get in, you get to watch them come together. Right. And that's a big piece of it. And, you know, I'm always here. So if you ever need anything from me, reach out. And I'm happy to speak freely and openly. And, but just know, we are extremely excited about the season starting. And we're looking forward to seeing everybody here soon.
Yeah. Looking forward to it. I'm counting down the days. So again, Coach, thank you so much for taking this time and chatting with us and helping us, take a peek behind the curtain, see what's going on, and help understand how things are coming together. So, you know, that's about it for this episode. We appreciate everybody for tuning in. Make sure you stay tuned, and we'll have some more fun interviews like this come up here in the near future. Take care, everybody.
Bye, y'all.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
It's lunchtime at Tim Hortons, and we're serving up a special deal just for you. Our new $5.99 lunch deal includes your choice of any lunch sandwich and a side of crunchy kettle chips. Because what's lunch without a little crunch? And the sandwich choice is all yours. Like a ham and Swiss, Chipotle chicken wrap, BLT, and more. Made to order just the way you like it. Tim Hortons' new lunch deal. Simple, delicious, and just $5.99. Now that's a good deal. Only at your neighborhood Tim's. U.S. only. Price and participation vary. Terms apply.